God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to today. I've been studying all week on the word darkness, doing a word study. Everywhere the word talks about darkness. And the reason for that is because I've been hearing the Holy Spirit really emphasize this word and this truth in my spirit. It's vitally important that we understand the enemy. We understand the schemes. Paul said, we are not unaware of the enemy's ways, the enemy's schemes. It's important that we understand the enemy and the way that he works. Because he is, and this is what I want to emphasize, it's not complicated. The devil's kingdom is not complicated. It's very simple. It has one goal and one goal only. It is the kingdom of darkness. That's what it is. It's not the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of evil, or anything like that. It is the kingdom of darkness. Now, all of those things result, evil, sin, iniquity, all of that is a result of the darkness. But we've got to really understand this. What does Satan rule over? The Bible said that he is the God of this world. After Jesus went to the cross, there's been some false teaching in the past where people said that when Jesus went to the cross, he took back the kingdoms of the world from the enemy. That's a false teaching. If you look in the Word, Paul said Satan is the God of this world. As a matter of fact, he said the God of this world has blinded the eyes and blinded the minds of the unbelievers. He has blinded them so that they cannot see the light. They can't see what is in Jesus, what he really is. They do not understand the truth. Because the God of this world, very important, Satan is still the God of this world. The Apostle Paul said that long after the cross. And if anybody understood the cross at that time, it was him. He's the one that God gave the revelation of what really took place there at that cross. And he's the one that gave that to us in the Scriptures. Holy Spirit used him to give it to us. So he tells us that Satan is the God of this world. After the cross, he still is, and that he blinds the minds of the unbelievers. Why? Because he is the Lord of darkness. He rules over. His kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. And it's important that we understand that we are all born into this world. Another way to put it, we are all born into the darkness. Every single one of us are born into darkness. What does it mean? It doesn't just mean we're born sinners. It means we're born blind. There is no way that our natural life can see the light. We are the children of darkness. Paul said we were all the children of disobedience until the glorious light shone into our hearts. Is the only way we can genuinely be saved is to comprehend the light. It's interesting, everybody knows John 3:16. It says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. They should not. And then you keep reading, but this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, but men loved darkness. They hated the light. They didn't want the light because it exposed their evil deeds. It exposed what they really were. They didn't really want the light. What people didn't want the light? The drunkard, the prostitute, the tax collector? No, it wasn't a specific group of people doing bad things. As a matter of fact, the people who didn't want the light more than any other people were those who thought that they had the light. They thought they were representatives of the light. The religious people, the ones that memorized the scriptures, the ones that taught the scriptures, the ones that preached and prophesied and prayed and fasted and believed in heaven and hell, these are the people who rejected the light because they were walking in darkness. And the light revealed what they really were. And this it's all goodness, it's so important that we understand this. What is the darkness? The darkness is every thought, every idea that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Man, this is just, there's so much in every statement here. I've got a Holy Ghost. Help us today, Father. Help us in Jesus' name today, Father. Help us to grasp. Help us to grasp some things in the Spirit, Lord, that will help us to understand the kingdom of darkness and understand the light so that we can walk in the light, Lord, that we can believe in Jesus, that we can know what Jesus has accomplished. Oh, my goodness. So the kingdom of darkness is a kingdom who is headed up by Satan and all of the fallen angels and demonic and unclean spirits are under his domain, and their job is one thing. Their job is not just to get you to sin or something like that. Those are just little side things. Their job is to rule over the darkness, to keep you and I in the dark. For example, when Jesus came, there were many demons, many principalities, many demonic angels in charge of keeping the religious people in darkness. The religious people believed in the scriptures, but they didn't fully grasp their meaning. They didn't really understand the truth. They didn't really understand, for example, they didn't really understand that there are none who are righteous, not even one. That there are none who do good. They were under the impression that there are some people who do good and some people who do not do good because they compared themselves with other people. They were looking at outward behaviors. And so they thought that there were some people who were good and some who were not. But Paul reveals to us the reality. This, now, according to the law, there were people who did good, who were righteous on the outside, but they weren't truly righteous. And Paul said, there are none. He quoted the scripture. It didn't come from him. He quoted the scripture from the Old Covenant. There are none who do good. No one, not a single one, nobody does good. Then what about all the people who are following the law? On the outside, they're doing what God said. It appears to be good. It's good on the outside, but it's not truly righteous. It's not truly holy because they are not truly righteous. So all of their motives and the reason that they do things are impure and imperfect. And it's not a group of people. It's everybody. Every single person, no matter how religious they are, no matter how sold out they are, in their natural life, in their natural mind, in their natural motivations, it is all tainted. It is all impure. And the religious people today and the religious people when Jesus came could not see that. Here's why they couldn't see it. Because the God of this world blinds the mind. He keeps us from, it's his job. I remember pastoring and the Lord told me, Satan is not afraid to come to church. I was so shocked at some of the people who would come and get involved in church. Demon-possessed, demon-led people there just to bring division, just to bring strife, just to damage. And they didn't even know they were doing it. And I was so surprised because the power of God was so present and we were seeing miracles and different things. I'm like, how can the devil just come and sit in this and be in these services? And I was offended. How can he come listen to me preach these powerful messages? You know, I was stupid, but I was offended by that, you know. And the Lord said, listen, the devil is not afraid to come to church. He's not afraid of that. As a matter of fact, the devil is the one who is ruling over most of what mankind calls the church. Why? Because they are birthed in darkness. They're not birthed in light. For example, almost every single church is founded on a faulty foundation. Well, I'm not talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the only one in the light. But the churches of man are founded on an idea, a doctrine that differs from other people. The Bible calls that heresy. A heresy is simply a sect, a sectarian spirit. It's founded on a specific doctrine that differs from all the other ones, and so they build their kingdom on some belief that they have that's different from somebody else's belief in the scriptures. And that's darkness. It is darkness. It's not built on understanding we all are wicked and none of us do good. We all had to die. And we all did die. It's not built on understanding the life of God. The true righteousness of God is a person. It's a substance. And if we hate our own life, we can lay hold of that one. And pressing into this mark of the high calling, believing for the power of his resurrection to be manifested in it's not founded on that. It's not. Here's very simple. The churches that men build are not founded on the light. They are ruled over by the darkness. This is not my idea, friend. It's very clear in the Word of God. When Jesus came, those who were in charge of the religious organizations rejected him more than anybody else. Why did they do that? Very simple, Jesus said in John 3, 16, 17, 18. You read that and he says, this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, but men loved darkness because their deeds are evil. The Pharisee and Sadducee teacher of the law, they didn't realize that what they did was not truly good. They thought they were good. But when Jesus came, it's very simple. Jesus said, you've heard it taught, thou shalt not commit adultery. They were the ones that taught that. That was the law of Moses. They taught that. Jesus said, but I tell you, if you've thought it, you're an adulterer. If you've done it on the inside, you're an adulterer. You've heard thou shalt not commit murder. I tell you, if you've hated your brother, you're a murderer. What he was doing was exposing that those who thought that they were doing good were not truly good. They weren't truly good doers. They weren't truly righteous people. And this is why they didn't like the light. They loved darkness. Loving darkness is not talking about people that listen to heavy metal music or people that smoke crack or whatever, people that are involved in prostitution. Loving the darkness is loving the ideas that the devil gives us that are not coming from the light. They're not a true revelation of the cross. They're not a true revelation of the life, the Zoe of God, Jesus Christ. Every idea, every imagination, every doctrine, every religion, every teaching that does not come from a revelation from the Holy Spirit about death, burial, and resurrection, the true gospel, what Jesus is, who he is, every idea that comes from, that doesn't come from that, comes from the darkness. It came from the devil. When we are born, friend, we are not, many people think they're born into the light, because their family believes in God and goes to church and says prayers over the meals and tells them they can't cuss and drink and fornicate. They think they're children of the light. Listen, religious people are not children of the light. There's nothing more clear than that when you really begin to go after God and walk in the Spirit. Religious people are not children of the light. They are children of the darkness. The only way a religious person can become a child of the light is to truly press in to Jesus Christ and to find out who he really is and who they really are, and to really understand the cross, to see why they had to die, and to believe that they did. and then to believe in the one that he sent. And this is the devil's goal. This is the devil's goal, to keep us from believing in the one that the Father sent. In the one, very important. Not believing in doing good, not believing in being a Christian, not believing in following God's commandments. No, believing in the one that he sent. Of course, God's commandments are pure and wonderful. I'm not teaching that we should go sin. Of course not. But trying to follow God's commandments is not the light. Understanding that we have all failed to do so. And that's why we had to die. And beginning to truly believe that there is only one life that is righteous. And the goal is to enter into that life by faith in what happened at the cross. That is the only true gospel that there is. The Holy Spirit will show us. The light shines in our hearts, and the first thing that it reveals is that we are all the same thing. We are all, this is the first thing. That's, how do I know it's the first? What did Jesus come to do? When the light came into the world, you watch his ministry, and he is revealing. He does many things, but one of the main things he reveals is he shows that we are all the same thing. The Holy Spirit will come. In John 16, it says he will reprove, which means convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. They don't believe in the righteousness of God. They don't even understand what it is. The Bible said the Jews did not understand the righteousness of God. They were ignorant of it. They didn't even know it existed. So they went about trying to establish righteousness as if it was by their human efforts, as if it was by trying to follow the commands and laws that Moses gave them. They thought that that was being righteous, but it wasn't. The word says that they were ignorant of God's righteousness. So they went about trying to establish righteousness, and then they failed to submit to God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. He is the righteousness of God. To believe in the righteousness of God means that I realize I am not, and all of my efforts are as filthy rags. Everything I do is tainted and impure. This is why I had to die. I'm not saying this is why we have to die physically. This is why we all had to die at the cross. Of course, sin is why we have to die physically. But it's why we all had to die at the cross. And friend, we did die. That's the light. The devil does not want you to know that you already died. He doesn't want you to know that. And he doesn't want you to put confidence in that. He doesn't want you to confess that. And he doesn't want you to believe in the one that the Father has sent. Oh my goodness, everything the devil does, even in religion, he's not afraid to go to church. He's not afraid for you to read the Bible. Do you know how many millions and millions of people are reading the Bible? And every one of them are convinced that they're right. And every one of them, nearly every one of them, disagree with one another on some point. They all think that they're right. This is what the agnostic and the atheist throws in the Christian's face. Because every one of you think you're right and every one of you disagree. How in the world are we supposed to believe what you believe? And the Christians will say, well, we all agree on some fun. They don't agree on nothing, friend. They don't agree on anything. It's hard to find a Christian who has any insight on what truly happened at the cross, who has any true revelation from God. Why? Because religion, friend, is ruled over by darkness. It's just another part of the darkness. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit showed me that's just shocking to me. It's like I just sit there with my mouth open and go, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Even all of our religious work, all of our going to church, much of it, most of it, and sometimes all of it is birthed out of darkness. It's not part of the light. It's part of our culture. I was talking about this in the prison yesterday. Do you know that many other religions that don't even believe in Jesus, they have religious experiences and religious awakenings. There are Hindus, Buddhists, different people who all of a sudden they become very religious. They stop doing the things other people are doing. They become very zealous for their religion. Muslims, the same way. And yet it's not real life. It's not really being born again. I really thought that being born again meant I stopped drinking and cussing and smoking, and I started really loving the things about God and religion and praying and going to church and worshiping and reading my Bible. I thought that meant I was born again. But friend, were the Pharisees born again? Were the Sadducees, the teachers of the law? They had those experiences. Many of them did not start out as that sold out, zealous, pious religious people. They had religious experiences where they stopped doing what other people were doing, and their life became all about God. That does not mean somebody is genuinely born again. Born again doesn't mean you have a religious experience. There's nothing in the Bible that shows that being born again is having a religious experience where you're cussing one day and drinking one day, and the next day now you're on fire for God. That is not being born again. What Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus was, you need a new life. The one you have is corrupt. That's who he was talking to about being born again. Nicodemus, one of the most pious religious people, who I'm sure was faultless and blameless according to the law. He was very high in the Pharisees. He was a very devout person. He even believed in Jesus. And he came to Jesus at night, and Jesus told him, you must be born again. Now, this man had already had his religious experiences. He was already zealous for God. He was already studying and memorizing scripture. He was already fasting. He was already believing in heaven and hell. He was already believing in angels. He believed in all of that. And yet Jesus told him, you need a new life. Being born again is not a religious experience. Being born again simply means, it's very simple, it means that you hate your own life, you deny it, you reject it, and you believe and lay hold of the life of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives you a new birth. And what is that? It means he births the life of Jesus Christ inside of your spirit. And if that really takes place, now the journey is to find out the truth. It's not to become religious, even though as you're finding out that, of course, you don't do the things you used to do. You read your Bible, you pray, you do stuff like that. But you're not doing it to be religious or because you're zealous about the things of God or because you want to be right or because you want God to bless your life. You're doing it because the Holy Spirit is leading you into the truth. He's leading you into the light. He's leading you into revelation, and he's always showing you the same thing in one way or another. The Holy Spirit is always showing you the cross. Everything the Holy Spirit does is to reveal to you death, burial, and resurrection. It's to reveal to you why you had to die, why Jesus became what you are, and put it to death. Why your life belongs in the grave, and how and why you must come forth now in the life of Jesus. And you can't do it through an effort. You can only do it, what I mean by an effort is you can't do it by trying to be good, by trying to follow God's rules. The only way you can enter into and come forth in the life of Christ is to truly believe what he accomplished and to confess it. But you can't do that without a revelation of it. I can't teach it to you. No man can. No woman can. No person can teach you the truth about the cross. Only the Holy Spirit can open your eyes to the truth, to the light, because you and I and everybody is born into darkness, and we are surrounded by darkness every day of our lives. Every atom, every part of you that walks in your natural life is walking in darkness. It does not fully see the light. The only part of you, if you are born of God, that can see the light is that life inside of you. The spirit of life inside of you can see the light. And if you'll walk in the Spirit and after the Spirit, your spirit will begin to see the light, and then your thinking, your soul, can be transformed the more your spirit understands and conceives the truth, the more your mind begins to think differently, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the way we think. As a matter of fact, the word repent in the Greek, amazing, because God intended for the New Testament to be written in Greek, and it was written in Greek. And the word for repent in the Greek is metanoeo. It's a compound word that means perceive afterwards. And the afterwards there means alongside or along with something. In other words, how do you see this when you consider this? That's repent. Perceive after something. Perceive along with something. When Jesus says repent, he's like, what he's saying is your perception must change once you see something. Once you've seen the life of God, once you've seen the cross, now your perception must completely change. You must begin to see everything totally differently than any human being has seen it, who is born into darkness, who's ruled over by the darkness, and this is what it means to be transformed into his marvelous light, into his kingdom. You are delivered from darkness. It's what God wants to deliver you from. Christians, I know they believe God wants to deliver you from smoking and from drinking and from pornography. And of course, most of them, you know, don't do too well with many of those things. But they believe, you know, this is what God, listen, God wants to deliver you from the darkness. If you get delivered from the darkness, all of those other things will come with it. You'll be delivered from the pornography. You'll be delivered from the unforgiveness, you'll be delivered from the lust, you'll be delivered from all of that as you're delivered from the darkness, because it's the darkness that keeps you from seeing the light. And if you see the light fully, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and it will make you free. In context, it was free from the power of sin. So it is the light, it is knowing the truth that delivers us from the power of sin. It's time for in another time. I've dealt with it, other devotions, and I will in the future. The power of sin, the strength of sin, is in the law. Now, that's a deep topic. It's a deep subject. Why does the law give strength to sin? The law says if you'll obey God, then God will bless your life. But that very law makes your sin strong. That very law arouses your sin, strengthens it, and makes it even more prominent. That's an amazing truth. So everybody who believes that if I'll obey God, he'll bless my life, they cannot overcome sin. It is impossible, because that very belief makes their sin strong. It gives their sin strength. It's part of the darkness. The light is to find out that none of us can do it. That's the light. The light is to find out that none of us can do it. So stop trying to do it and start believing that he did it. And start believing in the only one who can do it. He didn't come to abolish the law, so to speak. He came to fulfill it. Not one time, he came to fulfill it in you. Not to show you what to do, but to do it in you and to do it through you. Because his life, friend, very simple, his life is the only righteous life that there is. God doesn't want you just to not fornicate or not commit adultery. God wants you to walk in the life that knows no sin. It doesn't fornicate. It doesn't commit adultery. Why? It's not in it. It's not part of it. Your life, all that stuff is part of it. Even if you don't do it, you do it on the inside. Even if you don't do it, you're constantly wrestling with it because it's what you are. The light will deliver you from the power of sin, because it delivers you from the law. It delivers you from the thinking that if I'll do what God said to do, he'll bless my life. Oh my goodness. This is what Christianity is today. The Lord loves you and has a plan for your life. Repent of your sin and go to church and pay your tithe and do all those things and God will bless your life. It's absolutely no different than the law. That's what the law is. Obey God and he'll bless your life. That's what the law is. That people say, I hear preachers constantly, we're not under law, we're not under law, but pay your tithe or you'll be cursed. What? I mean, the whole concept is so, it's because they're in darkness. They don't really understand the light. They don't really understand why we all had to die. They don't really understand what Jesus really did. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. He became what we all are. He became the DNA of Adam. He became the seed of the serpent. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses didn't hold up an angel. He didn't hold up a pretty picture that represented God. He held up a snake. Why? Jesus called everybody who didn't believe in him children of the devil. It's what we are. We are all born as the seed of the serpent. That's what the DNA of Adam became when he converted to the devil. When he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he gained an independent life that was the life of the devil. That's what it means to be a sinner. It means to be the seed of the serpent. Jesus became the sin. He became the seed of the serpent on the cross. That's why Moses held up a snake and all who gazed intently upon it were healed. When they really saw, this is a picture, when we really see what he did and what he accomplished and we really believe it and confess it and lay hold of it by believing and confessing, then we are set free and we are healed and we are delivered. That's what Romans 10 teaches us. That when we believe in our heart, our spirit, that God raised him from the dead. It's not just talking about believing in an event. It's talking about believing in the spiritual revelation of what took place in that resurrection. What took place at that cross and that tomb and that resurrection and that ascension. When we really begin to grasp that, this is why I want to post here, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'll close with this because this is getting long. This is just a good introduction. We need to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Jesus even told them, if the light that is in you is darkness, what does that mean? If your belief about God and you're praying and you're fasting and everything you're doing, if that's part of the darkness, oh my goodness, how deep is the darkness? How dark is it? If the light within you is darkness, think about that. If what you believe about God is actually part of the darkness, it's actually coming from a lie, it's coming from deception, then how dark is the darkness in you? If the light within you is darkness. And in that scripture, he was talking about the single eye. If the eye is single, oh my goodness, we've got to understand this. I posted this scripture because it is so powerful. If the eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. And then I posted the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Let me put this together here and we'll close. If the eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. What revelation was Jesus sharing there? When he was saying, if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? He had just said, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is focused on one thing, this is what he's showing. And it's all through the revelation of the new covenant. Where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It doesn't say, like many new versions have changed the word because they don't understand it and they interpret it wrongly. It doesn't say make every thought obey Christ. Go ahead and try that, friend. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody ever can do that. Make every thought obey Christ. The Bible doesn't say that. It says bring all your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of. In other words, make your eye single. Focus on one thing. Focus on the obedience of, not obedience in, focus on the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's the only way your obedience will ever come about. Your obedience will ever be fulfilled is when his life begins to live through you. So watch this. If the eye is single, the whole body's full of light. If you can bring all of your attention to one thing, every time you see sin, every time you're confused, every time you're going through a battle, every time you're on the mountain even, if you can bring all of your thoughts and ideas to focus on one thing, the obedience of Christ, what he accomplished, what he did, why he had to do it, it's all the same thing. To peer into the work of the cross, the work of the tomb, the work of the resurrection, to peer into it with the Holy Spirit. No man can see it, but the Holy Spirit can help you become single-eyed, single-focused. You're not trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do. You're not trying to figure out, am I doing right, am I not doing right? You're not trying to figure out, am I going to the right church, am I not going? Am I even supposed to go here? Am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to tithe? Am I not supposed to tithe? No. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because this scripture in 2 Corinthians is talking about your battle. We're closing here. Your battle with darkness. Your battle with the kingdom of darkness can only be won by casting down every imagination and every idea that is contrary to, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you do a word study on the knowledge of God, that phrase, you'll find out, if you focus on the context, it's talking about the cross. The knowledge of God is not some deep secret. It is a deep secret, but it's not some strange deep secret, some strange idea that somebody can preach and you follow their ministry. The knowledge of God is always the same thing. It is the cross, what Jesus did, why he had to do it, what he accomplished when he did it. That's the knowledge of God. The hidden mystery of God is the cross. It is Christ crucified. And the way that we overcome the kingdom of darkness is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, what we confess, and not loving our own lives, even when it cost us our life. That's the only way to overcome Satan. The blood of the Lamb is the first thing. You've got to understand the cross. You've got to understand what happened there. So in your wrestling, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood, with people. You're not even wrestling with your own. Oh, I remember when God showed me that when I was like, oh my goodness. I always thought it meant we wrestle not against flesh and blood means our battle is not with other people. The Lord said, no, your battle's not with flesh and blood, period. It's not even with your own flesh and your own blood. I was like, oh my goodness. Because I was always taught you got to crucify the flesh. You got to overcome the flesh. You got to defeat the flesh. Listen, Jesus already did that. My battle is not with my flesh. My battle is with the kingdom of darkness. My battle is with the principalities that lie to me and keep me from understanding what he did, that keep me from laying hold of what he did. My flesh is not what I wrestle with. I'm wrestling with powers and principalities and rulers of what? Of darkness. They're ruling over the darkness. And when I see the light, friend, my flesh won't be a problem because Jesus has already crucified that on the cross of Calvary. Oh my goodness, beloved, this is wonderful. When your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. It's being delivered from the darkness that sets us free from the power of sin, the power of iniquity, the confusion, the frustration, all of those things, friend. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness, because they want to keep you in the dark. And they don't care how religious you are. They don't care how many scriptures you memorize. That doesn't bother them at all. As a matter of fact, they love it. As long as you're walking in darkness, you'll do more harm with all of that than you do good. This is why Jesus told the religious people of his day, man, you travel the seas to win a single convert. You become missionaries. You sell everything and you go travel in the seas and to win a convert. And when you do, you make them twice the son of hell as you are. What's a son of hell? Somebody that believes, now I'm better, now I'm doing good, now other people are going to hell, not me. and they don't understand the truth. They think that now because they're following some certain rules and some commandments and they don't cuss anymore or drink anymore or smoke, now that they're on the way to heaven and everybody else is on the way to hell, and they're preaching something that is not the light. They are sons of hell. And when they convert somebody else, they make them a son of hell. And they think that they've become a son of God. It is so mind-boggling. The devil is very intelligent, and he disguises himself as an angel of light, but he's actually the angel of darkness. He's there to keep you in the dark by telling you something that he presents as light. So the devil loves Christianity, loves religion, he loves all of these things that men do, as long as they don't really understand the cross, as long as they don't really conceive what God has actually done. The enemy does not mind at all that they believe in God, or that they go to church, or that they memorize scriptures. So, beloved, oh my goodness, may God deliver us from the kingdom of darkness and continue to open our eyes, continue to show us what he actually accomplished at that cross, and bring every thought captive to his obedience and what he did, and begin to truly confess every battle, every wrestling match we're having with darkness. We must say, we must confess what he's accomplished, friend. And everybody leading you into something else, even especially if they're leading you into be obedient so your life will be blessed. Friend, they are agents of darkness, and they don't know it. They're the agents of darkness. They're disguised as angels of light. Paul was infuriated when the Jews came into his churches and told them, you need to get circumcised. You need to follow the law of Moses. You need to obey this and obey that. Paul said, did you begin by following rules and regulations and commandments, or did you begin in the spirit? Who has bewitched you? Who has deceived you and got you back into the idea that if we'll follow the rules and commands and laws and be obedient, that our life will be blessed? Oh, my goodness, beloved. Oh, woo, man, may the Holy Ghost, this is a little long, but hey, make up for a few days here, praise the Lord. But may the Holy Ghost help you and lead you into the truth of the cross. In Jesus' marvelous name, God bless you today.